Braden Sprennett here alongside Luke Ramirez. We're getting ready to break down the Metro Mesa League. We're going to start it off with an interview with the head coach from Eastlake. His name is John McFadden, a longtime Eastlake football coach. Coach McFadden, how you doing this afternoon?
Wonderful. Beautiful hot day.
Yes, again, beautiful hot day as we get through camp here. We're kind of in the dog days of camp, trying to, you know, get ready for the high school football season. We're right around the scrimmage time to hit somebody else. How's Eastlake looking? How are your boys looking? And how excited are you for the season to start?
I think we're looking pretty darn good. You know, and a lot of turmoil during the off season, but the kids, it didn't affect them at all. You know, and they've worked their butts off, had the best weight room we've ever had, best off-season work we've ever had, and had a little inter-squad scrimmage last week and looked pretty solid. We were able to put two teams together that were very competitive, and so now it's exciting to be able to go against somebody else this week, and we're lucky we get to go against pretty good teams this week, because we got to get ready for maybe one of the hardest schedules in the county over the year, so we need to be ready for that.
Coach, Luke Ramirez here. Tell us a little bit about your offensive coordinator and what you guys have been had in the works cutting into the season.
Well, I'm the offensive coordinator, so I think that our offensive coordinator is awesome.
Okay.
And offensively, we do something a little different than most teams. We run kind of a fly tempo. Spread, not too much spread, but everybody sees it as a wing T. It's really not a wing T, but that's the way they can call it whatever they want. It's just a lot of tempo, get the ball out. We do throw the ball a little bit more than everybody thinks. And this year I think we have five or six really good receivers. So I'm excited to get them the ball quite a bit and a lot more speed than we had last year. So I'm excited about that.
Coach McFadden, you're talking about your schedule. Luke and I were looking over it not too long ago, and it is arguably one of the toughest schedules you're going to have, especially the non-league. You open up with Steel Canyon. You got St. Augustine at Lincoln, who's going to be very good this year, San Jacinto, and then, of course, Cathedral Catholic and El Camino kind of rounded off. Three of those opponents arguably might be in the top five in the Union Tribune's top 10 polls. They come out. What was the, coming into the season, do you like building up really tough schedules for yourself, and what was the game plan in terminating, getting this ready to go for you guys?
Well, I think we are kind of like all the rest of those teams. A lot of people don't want to play us, and for whatever reason. And, so it's very difficult to find a game. So we play whoever wants to play us, and it doesn't really matter. It's a preseason game. I think we're going to be very competitive, and if whichever teams make the fewest mistakes will win the game. So our job is just to coach them up, and no matter who you go against, you got to hit and you got to tackle and you got to complete passes and not turn the ball over. And that's kind of what we preach, and it's all those other good teams we're going against, we'll be preaching the same thing. So, but we'll be ready to play. And when we come out of preseason, I think we're going to be a much, much better team. And I think we'll be ready for league and going into the playoffs. So,
talk a little bit more about, coming back after a few years off and how you've been able to kind of make the program yours again.
Well, I coached three out of the 4 years after I stepped down, two of them for Lee Price, who was the head coach, and he did an excellent job here. And, probably still should be the head coach if my opinion mattered, but apparently it didn't. And then I coached over at Olympia in one of those years, and that was a fun time to go over and work with some freshman kids. And then 1 year I took off, I realized that, I basically have no life, so I better be a head coach. So I had actually gotten the job at Bonita, and I was going to on my way over there, and about 10 minutes after I accepted the job, Coach Trop stepped down, and, I just couldn't leave Eastlake because they're such a wonderful school and place to set up. But, yeah, I was going to take a head coaching job somewhere, because it's kind of what I need to do to stay sane. So,
well, I'm not going to let you and Luke talk about how great Eastlake is all the time. You got two Eastlake guys with me right now. Coach McFadden, I know Eastlake is a great school. You guys got some great players as well. You guys you're talking about some of the receivers you have coming back, but who are going to be some of the impact kids for the Titans this year?
Well, I think Max Soucy and Jackson Daly are two of the guys who've gotten a lot of recognition already, and they're both, you know, Max will definitely be our senior leader of the defense, and you know, he was probably our second best defensive player last year behind McCurdy. And he's just very consistent and tough. Jackson is going to be a force up front and on both sides of the line, just really athletic and tough and, you know, big, about 250, about 6'3". So he'll be doing it on both sides of the ball. But then Mateo Law hasn't got a whole lot of notice. He took over at running back for us last year after our two big guys got hurt and did a great job for us, and he's looking really quick. So yeah, those guys. But Holden Stevens is, you know, just unassuming guy at receiver, and a guy named Jerwin Novicio, and a couple other guys that, you know, a couple sophomores, Jordan Blodman, Jordan Swan, and a couple linebackers that are just real deal guys, and I think people are going to be surprised when they see them. So we have a lot of good football players here, you know, and you lose a couple here and there, and it's everything's kind of go, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then the next guy steps up. That's exciting. Very exciting.
Speaking of guys stepping up, can you give us a little bit more insight into the quarterback? I understand there's a couple of underclassmen that are going to be vying for the position.
Yeah. Yeah. Richie Cormolaro decided he had better prospects over at St. Augustine, and they do a great job, and I'm sure he'll do great over there. So that opened up the quarterback spot because he basically had it over here. He did a great job for us last year. And so we got two young men, Cole McFarlane and Adriel Colmenero, which is no relation to Richie. But both of them have just come a long ways, and people were worried about that, and they always are. So just relax, let them come along. And they're both throwing the ball really well. They're picking up on the offense. You know, they're about where Richie was last year at the beginning of the year. So, yeah, it's going to have some growing pains, and they'll fight for the spot. And probably within a few games, we'll know who the guy is, and he'll win it. And we just had a kid come in, apparently a professional soccer player down in Mexico, and he's a 6'5" goalie who is working as our kickoff guy along with Julian Ramos and Henri Bogart. And he said, "Coach, I'd like to try quarterback." He's a great athlete, and he throws the ball really well. So we're working him there, too. And his name is Bryce Ramirez. So I don't think there's any real relationship, but he's a cool kid, too. So.
Well, Coach, we're excited for Eastlake this season. You guys got a really tough schedule to start off, but a lot of big games for the Eastlake Titans that we look forward to keeping tabs on. Coach John McFadden, thanks again for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you during the rest of the season.
Great. Thanks a bunch. Thanks for all you do.
As we continue to preview the Metro Mesa League on the High School Football Podcast on 97 Through the Fan, alongside Luke Ramirez, I'm Braden Soprenet. We're now met with the head coach of Mater Dei. His name is John Joyner, doing a tremendous job down there at Mater Dei. Coach Joyner, what are you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Let's get into it. First of all, I know we're in that stretch of camp where we just can't wait to hit somebody else in terms of scrimmages coming up. But how's Mater Dei looking so far? Are you pleased with the talent you've gotten? Are you pleased with how your guys have progressed so far?
Yeah, no, it's one day away, so pretty excited about getting to hit somebody else. But camp's been going well. Guys are working really hard, and very, very happy with the talent level and all that. But more importantly, very happy with the work ethic at this point.
Coach, Luke Ramirez here. Walk us through your schedule a little bit. It seems to be a theme with the South Bay, these tough non-league schedules. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough thing nowadays to schedule. It's getting harder and harder. I think with the way the divisions are set up, everybody's either trying to play in their division or play up. We have kind of a tough time sometimes finding games, so we're kind of open to playing whoever we can play. We've played LCAP for like the last 6 years, so it's a lot of fun. We have a pretty good rivalry with Bishops as well, so we just kind of filled out the schedule the way it works. But we when it comes to scheduling, we just kind of look to see what works for us and see if people have openings, and got to play somebody.
What is the offseason like for you guys after you know, went 3-7 last year after a really good season the year before? You know, I know you lost CJ Verdell 2 years ago, and so you had to regroup. But offseason after a season where you didn't get the record obviously that you wanted, what was it like for your kids in times of putting time in the weight room and getting them ready to go for this year? How was the offseason program for you guys this year?
Offseason went great. We were really young. We played 21 sophomores on varsity last year. Even this year, we're still pretty young. We only have 9 seniors on the team, but we have a lot of guys that are returning that have played, varsity football. The offseason was great. Guys worked really hard. It's kind of a tough situation here in modern day. Like, I think 72% of our football players play at least 2 sports, if not 3. So you don't always have those guys in the weight room and that stuff, but when our guys are in there, they work hard, and we have a year-round program that we take pride in and try to get our bodies ready.
Absolutely, and one of those seniors is Aiden Calvert. Talk to us a little bit about him. I know he's your guy down there this year.
Yeah, Aiden's special. He has sitting on 4 scholarship offers right now. He's a 2-sport athlete. He's also a great baseball player for here at Modern Day. He's great academically. He's a phenomenal kid off the field. And he's been with us kind of since his sophomore year. He took over kind of right away when CJ left. I'm not comparing him to CJ. That's not fair for anybody. But Aiden's kind of making his own way and leaving his own mark.
Talking about other guys in your program that are going to be impact players for Modern Day this year. We're talking with Luke off the air. It sounds like you guys got a freshman coming in that's going to be the real deal. But you got some other kids too that are going to be impact players. Who are these kids that are going to help out the Crusaders this year?
I think Jonathan Miller. He's a starting corner and slot receiver for us. He's another one of the seniors that's going to come in and make a big impact. I think on the defense side of the ball, Jacob Finch, who's a senior strong safety for us. Mike Harrington, who's a returning inside linebacker. He's kind of our defensive captain, along with Eric Davis, who will be a defensive lineman and really special for us. I think defensive line is going to actually be one of our strengths. We return 4 starters from a year ago, and those guys are all going to be ready to make an impact. And we have 2 freshmen that are going to play varsity, which is cool. It's not something that normally happen, but these boys physically can handle it and also mentally can handle it. So we'll see if, on a Friday night, they can make some plays.
Coach, not sure if you're trying to keep them a secret, but one of those freshmen is Trey Edwards. Is there anything you can want to give us on him? I've already read some stuff. It's kind of like his name is already out there, I would say.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not trying to keep him a secret. Trey Edwards plays inside linebacker and running back, and Chris Snyder plays corner and wide receiver. For us to play a freshman on varsity, we don't just look at the physical aspect. Like, these guys can physically handle 7 o'clock, but they're both mentally really prepared. They've been playing football a long time. They understand the game. They can understand what we're trying to do, and then kind of have the maturity to play varsity football. So we don't just kind of put guys on varsity just as freshmen. We try not to do that. But these guys, I think, are ready and prepared. And, it's a lot different than playing 8th grade youth football than varsity football. But we think they're ready.
Last thing for you, Coach Joyner, as Coach John Joyner of Modern Day joins us on 97 Through the Fan, our podcast of high school football. We're previewing the Metro Mesa League. Coach, talking about the Metro Mesa League, it's a very difficult league, the best league in the South Bay by far. You got teams like Eastlake and Otay Ranch, but what does Modern Day need to do in order to, potentially, compete for a league title this year?
I love our league. I think it's a lot of fun. I think every year we've been in this league, there's been a new champion. It's very, very even. So, it'll be interesting by the time we get to league to see kind of who's established themselves. I think Otay Ranch is going to be a very tough team this year. I think Eastlake's very talented. Olympian's going through some changes, but they've been so consistent since I've been down here. Olympian's probably been one of the most consistent teams in our league. And then I know Bonita's going to be better the second year under Coach Sam. And so it should be fun. I don't really know yet because we're so far away from league play. But for us to compete, we have to do it physically. And that's usually if we're getting beat in league, it's because they're kind of bullying us. So hopefully by the time we get to league, we're ready to roll.
Coach Joyner, thanks again for joining us today. Always a pleasure talking to you about high school football, about modern day as well. Tell my boy Jared Isidoro hi as well.
Oh, absolutely. I was just with him about 10 minutes ago, but I'll definitely tell him to say hi. And thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. Thanks again. Print it here on another podcast for you, high school football. We're doing the Metro Mesa League now. That is our high school football preview as well. For any other high school football previews, if you want the Palomar League, Valley, Coastal, Pacific, Avocado, Western, we all got that for you on 97throughthefansd.com as we release it two a day from August 14th, actually, all the way to August 22nd. We get ready for high school football on August 23rd. We'll have our high school football show again each and every Thursday night starting on August 15th from 9 to 11. Coach John Cantara, myself, Braden Soprenet, break down everything you need to know about high school football for 2 hours. And then Friday, starting on August 23rd, we got high school football on the air on 97 Through the Fan, starting with Granite Hills at Poway. Just like our other South Bay podcast, I'm joined by Luke Ramirez, freelance writer for the Union Tribune, also a Little League World Series guy. I know he gives me a look like, hey, man, come on, that was 12.
10 years ago now.
Yeah, right? Oh, dude, exactly. We're talking about some high school football. First of all, Luke, how you doing today?
Doing well. Glad to be back.
Doing well. We're talking some high school football for you. Metro Mesa, this is the big dogs down in the South Bay, the cream of the crop. These are the guys that usually have really good football programs. Bonita Vista, Eastlake, Modern Day, Olympian, Otay Ranch are the top five teams, of course, in the South Bay. They're the five teams in the Metro Mesa League. First thing, aside from Eastlake, what team stands out to you? Because when you look at it on paper, you're thinking Eastlake. When you think of the South Bay in football, you think Eastlake. I know you're an Eastlake alum, so try to keep it as unbiased as possible. But when you're thinking South Bay sports right now, you're thinking Eastlake.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other team that would stick out would have to be Otay Ranch for sure. The league has been pretty volatile the last few years. I know there's been a few different champions going back 3 or 4 years. But now that Coach McFadden is back at Eastlake, I think he's going to reestablish that program to how he had it a few years back before he left for a little while. And, you know, Eastlake should be that perennial powerhouse. But Otay Ranch, not too far behind. I mean, Coach Christensen is doing great things over there. And as we'll get into later on, they're looking good.
They got some size. They got they're physical. They got a lot of tough opponents on their schedule. They got probably one of the best, in-section non-league schedule, if that makes sense, because you know, a lot of the top dogs in San Diego right now are playing out of town because it's tough to find games. I know John Maffitt, the Union Tribune, is going to be writing a piece on scheduling over the next week or so. But let's get to it. Bonita Vista, we're going to start with them. They're now in D3. At one point, they were in D1. They had a nice little run there for a little bit. They got a lot of guys from Eastlake when McFadden left Eastlake originally. But ever since then, they've kind of been struggling. They come in 2-8 from last year. They beat Hilltop and Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was not that great last year either. Modern Day, Olympian, Otay Ranch all beat Bonita Vista last year. They entered with a negative 22.5 rating, definitely way below their counterparts here in the Metro Mesa League. They open up at St. Augustine. That's going to be really, really difficult for them to win. Then they got San Ysidro, Sweetwater, Steel Canyon, Henry, Hilltop, Otay, Eastlake, and then the rest of league, of course, for you. I got them winning two games. I got them beating San Ysidro and Sweetwater, they might be able to beat Patrick Henry. Other than that, Steel Canyon, St. Augustine, the league plays tough. We know Hilltop's going to be good. We just explained that as well. Not saying that they're bad, but just saying that the schedule they play and what they have, I got them going 2-8.
I would be around there. All I could say really is, you know, Coach Sam Kirkland's in his second season. He's still trying to establish, you know, a culture there and really make it his program. I know a lot of the other Mesa coaches are really excited for him to do that. So I think, in a year or two, Bonita Vista is gonna be back under Kirkland. Their identity, what he said, is they just want to be a smart and tough football team. Bottom line is to control the line of scrimmage and be on the positive side of the turnover margin. That's what he talked about a lot when I spoke with him earlier. They have some skill players returning. Roland Cota will be pretty interesting to watch. He amassed over 1,000 yards, all-purpose yards last season. He had a big game in their homecoming game last year, 4 touchdowns. He ran two, caught one. I'm sorry, he caught two, ran one, and had the kickoff return for a touchdown to help him win over Hilltop with the game I saw him. Kirkland's such an energetic guy. I think he's a guy that his players will absolutely gravitate towards. They'll really want to lay it on the line for him. And, you know, we're both athletes. You know what it's like when you got a coach you're playing for that you just want to absolutely win for no matter what.
And absolutely.
I think that's what they got at Benita. Even though they're still really young, trying to find their identity. It's looking up for Benita. And I would have to agree with you there. They got about 2 to 3 wins, it looks like, on the schedule. But we'll have to see how it goes. And then the Mesa League is always, we also always have to see how it shakes out.
To me, that's going to be Benita Vista versus Olympian, and whoever wins that game will not come in last, right? I think right now. You know, you got the new coach with Olympian, the son of Van Nostrand, correct?
Yeah.
His son is now the head coach at Olympian in his first year as being a head coach. That's going to be interesting for them. They also have a tough schedule. We'll get to Olympian in just a second. But I think we're in agreement or on the same record-wise Benita Vista is going to be. Of course, we go in kind of alphabetical order here. So we move on to East Lake. They went 10-2 last year. I got to watch them play Helix. We did that game on the air. Mm-hmm. You know, Helix is Helix, and it got out of hand quickly. But I liked a lot out of Colmenero. The problem is Colmenero is no longer at Eastlake. He's now at St. Augustine. I also like Darius De Los Reyes.
Yeah.
The problem with that is he's no longer at Eastlake. He's at Lincoln.
Right.
Two of their top guys are now elsewhere. They did not submit their JV record, or did not turn in their returning starters to Cal Preps. They did beat Oceanside, Otay Ranch, and Grossmont last year. They lost to Torrey Pines and Helix. To me, they had a schedule that's in place. It's very difficult. I know they were getting excited down there at Eastlake with the season that they had, talking with their athletic director about making the next schedule. It seemed like they made the schedule, and all of a sudden they lost a bunch of kids they didn't think they were going to lose. Because they open up at Steel Canyon. Steel Canyon's had a really good year last year. They beat Helix last year. They're looking like they're going to be a force in the Grossmont League for years to come as of now. Then they got St. Augustine, who I think is top three right now in the county entering the season. They got Lincoln, who had a very good offseason. They had a lot of guys transfer into that school. They're going to have a lot of dudes. They're going to have a lot more athletes than Eastlake has. That is also a tough game. Then they play San Jacinto, according to Cal Preps. So how I do it based on, you know, when you play a team out of county and out of Lee, or out of California, I just take the Cal Preps ratings. If your rating's higher than that one, I'm just going to pick that game because I have no idea how good San Jacinto is going to be in anything. I've never watched them play. I don't even know what their mascot is.
Yeah.
But Eastlake's got a better rating than San Jacinto, so I think they get a win there. And then they got Cathedral Catholic. And Cathedral's got a ginormous line coming back. They're arguably number one or number two or number three in the county to start the league, start the season. So if you look at just those five games in general, they also have El Camino, I think they can win. But those top five games, they play arguably three of the top five teams in San Diego in their first 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna be incredibly tough. And talking to Coach Mack, he told me we're either really stupid and we're gonna get banged up and not be able to play in league, or we're gonna get a lot better and we'll run right through league and have some momentum going into playoffs. So it's going to be so interesting. I mean, if you had those guys, Colmenero and De Los Reyes, going against these top teams in the county, it might be something to look at. But I just don't know how they're going to be able to stack up, and especially since they were anticipating having those two guys, you know, who obviously are a huge portion of that offense and the points that they put on the board. I still think that, you know, I still got faith in Coach Mack. He has some dogs on defense that are going to be pretty tough. I think they'll be able to keep a lot more points off the board than people are anticipating as well.
What about scoring points? Because their new offensive coordinator is now Jason Texler. We know that guy can score a lot of points. He was at San Marcos. He was on the Helix staff. He was on that one staff at El Cajon Valley that all of a sudden made the team just unbelievable overnight. Took him to a CIF championship game. Jason Texler's now back down in the South Bay. He's coaching at Eastlake. He's the offensive coordinator. I can see that being probably a huge factor in Eastlake's success this year.
Yeah, definitely. I've been told that they're going to have a full overhaul on the offense pretty much. They're going to look a little more spreadish, but they're not going to change the things that have been, you know, successful for them in the past. You know, when it comes to the tempo they operate with, I know they're going to have two kids competing for the job, two underclassmen competing for the job at quarterback, and they plan on having somebody kind of rise to the top by week two.
But that's going to be interesting there. I can't really speak to the playmakers they'll have on offense. I mean, like, it's just going to be how big is a hit is it going to be without Colmenero and De Los Reyes. I think they'll have they might have some guys to step up, so it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I got them going 6-4, 2-4 in non-league. I think most of the losses are going to be in non-league. Mm-hmm. I think they still run the table in the Metro Mesa League, just because I think they get Otay. Otay is going to be the biggest challenge to them. I still think they're better than Modern Day, but I know Modern Day is going to be getting better, and they should be able to handle Olympian and Bonita Vista pretty easily. Speaking of Modern Day, they're the next team on our list. Division 3 team. They went 3-7 last year after a really good season the year before when they had CJ Verdell, who's now at Oregon, tearing it up in the Pac-12. They beat El Cap, Bonita Vista, Chula Vista last year. They lost to Bishop's, Olympian, and Kearney. I might have to change my record for them after we talked to John Joyner, or since we talked to John Joyner, because they got some guys coming up. They have Aiden Calvert, who's a very good athlete. I think their quarterback play is going to be pretty okay. I watched him at Passing League 2 years ago, so he's going to be I think they might be a force there. And then you said they got a freshman coming in that might change everything.
Absolutely. Trey Edwards coming in as a true freshman. And, I mean, when I talked to Coach Joyner, you could just hear the anticipation and anxiousness in his voice to be able to get this guy on the field and let him loose. He's mostly going to play linebacker, from what I understand, but they'll also mix him in with Calvert to get some carries, and I'm sure he'll be a guy that they'll be able to throw to as well. I think Appleman, the quarterback, he's going to be really talented. He's supposed to be coming into himself this year as a junior. 6'6", he's definitely got some room to grow into that frame, but he's going to be really a weapon in the pocket that you don't really see a lot of in the Mesa League. You see a lot more kind of versatile guys that can tuck in and run as well, but I think this Appleman guy is a true pocket passer. It'll be interesting to see, the weapons around him, if he's going to be able to utilize those tools, and how Joyner's going to be able to run the offense through that.
They got a tough schedule as well. We were talking about this on the Metro South Bay podcast about the South Bay schools, scheduling out of their league. They're scheduling non-league games out of their league, if that makes any sense at all, because they got El Cap first. Usually I think they would beat El Cap, but I saw El Cap's line, and it's going to be tough. Linemen are such a dime, or not a dime a dozen. Linemen are hard to find in San Diego, and it seems like the top teams have four of them, and everybody else has maybe one of them.
Right.
The fact that El Cap's got three really big linemen, I haven't seen Modern Day's line yet, but the three guys I saw from El Cap look like they can hang with the Helixes of the world, right, and what have you. Again, I haven't seen them play. I've just seen them size. So El Cap is a tough game. Grossmont at Grossmont. That game will actually be aired on 97 Through the Fan. We'll be carrying that game. Modern Day at Grossmont. That's an interesting matchup, too, because Grossmont had a very down year last year, but they're going to score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whether or not Modern Day and their lack of depth, if you will, being a smaller school, can stay in the game and run up and down the field with Coach Carlo's high-powered offense. The only benefit of that is the Foothillers give up a lot of points, just as many as they score. Then they got Bishops. Last year they should have beat Bishops. They lost. Bishops had a lineman playing quarterback.
Mm.
This year, even though Modern Day is better, they have their stud quarterback back,
right,
who's going to Notre Dame. Mm. You got a guy going to Notre Dame that plays quarterback for you under the signal caller. He's probably the best recruited athlete in San Diego right now. It's going to be tough to beat, unless barring injury or what have you. At University City, I think that's a toss-up game. I think it's very even between those two teams. Chula Vista, they should be able to win. Then they got Lincoln. Coach Joyner, I know him from him coaching with my dad over at St. Augustine. He is not afraid to play anybody, and right, you can see based on the schedule there, he's kind of toned it down a little bit. He's playing teams that are still better, but teams that they can beat. I mean, it's not like he's going out and scheduling Helix, right? And he's not going out and scheduling Torrey Pines or what have you. But Modern Day schedule is going to play a factor. I think I have 3-7 right here. The Otay Ranch game is going to be interesting. There's a lot of flip games. I can go see them going either way from 3-7 to 6-4. That's a huge range, but there's a lot of question marks as this Modern Day Crusaders team.
Yeah, absolutely. I see him pulling out against Grossmont. I'm gonna have to go with you about on El Cap if you're so high on those linemen that they got. I'll take that with you. I think Bishop's, like you said, it's going to be a different look than they had last year, which is actually the game I covered. Came right down the wire, really high scoring game. But when you got that guy in there who's obviously going to a great program like Notre Dame, he's something special. Can't be overlooked there. But yeah, in the league schedule, I don't quite think they're ready to take down Otai yet to become that kind of solid number two, but they're going to be really close. And I think that'll be a good game, the Otai at Modern Day game. Probably one of the better games in the South Bay I see on the schedule.
The last year, they kind of took a knock because they were getting really good. You know, with C.J. Verdell, they're winning a lot of games, they're running their RPOs, they're doing a really great job, and then last year just kind of took a little blip in the radar on the thing, and then all of a sudden, maybe they're going to start controlling it and getting back into, keeping kids down in the South Bay, not letting them leak out and get guys to go to Modern Day, and the fact that they got that freshman coming in already proves that they can, try to get some of those kids over there and be Crusaders. Moving on, Olympian, 3-8 last year. JV team went 3-7. They got 14 guys coming back again that can either be really good or really bad. They beat Modern Day, Bonita, Hilltop last year, lost to Santa Fe, Christian, Ramona, Otay Ranch. They also played Cathedral last year. This Olympian team is a team that also scheduled kind of out of their league. They're open up at Ramona, who's always tough. They got Poway, who's got a lot better. They got at Torrey Pines, who was in the Open Championship last year, at Grossmont, who we were just talking about the Modern Day. You never know what you're going to get with that Grossmont team, but they're definitely going to score a lot of points. At Point Loma, Western League matchup for them, a team in the Western League. Western League's the highest-rated city league. And then you got Oceanside, who supposedly, according to John Maffey, has their mojo back. That is a tough non-league schedule for a rookie head coach and Coach Van Nostrand, the son of the other Van Nostrand that started at Olympian when Olympian started up. I have a really hard time finding spots in that schedule for wins, aside from maybe Bonita Vista.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, this is tough. This is really tough. I if anything, it speaks to kind of the theme in the South Bay is kind of like a blue collar theme. You know, they want those games. It's tough to get for them to get games scheduled because for a North County team to lose to a South Bay team, it does not look good as far as the rankings and such. So I know that this is probably tougher. I'm sure they know what they wanted, but it's on the tough side for sure. And as I'm right with you, I can put them over Bonita this year, but I don't think they get by anyone else in the Mesa League.
You got any kids' names for us to look out for? They got 14 guys coming back. I know the Union Tribune had we have the preview articles, of course, as you're a freelance writer for the Union Tribune. Before we get into Otay, kind of a couple kids that Olympian might have that might make an impact.
Yeah, Steve Brown did a great job with this Mesa League preview. It's Anthony Gilpin is a wide receiver and DB coming back. Looks like they have a quarterback in Lucas Hamilton. That's a player to be watched out for. It's all going to come down to pretty much how, Ryan Van Nostrand can do in his first year. I can't imagine the pressure, trying to fill your pop shoes. but, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think everyone's excited for him. Hopefully he can be a guy that sticks there because that's an up-and-coming program, one of the newer schools in the South Bay. So they're definitely going to want to look at to move forward in the right direction, keep up with the big dogs in the Mesa League.
Yeah, and Olympians had good years. My junior year, we played them in the CIF championship game in Division III, and they've had years where they've had some guys, and so it's just bound of whether or not the only thing it's like, and I've never been a head coach, but I've been coaching the last couple of years at my alma mater. And, as a young coach, my first year coaching JV, our team was just not very good. And it's just like, it's the kind of like the frustration of, trying to stick with it and just each and every week, just treat it as a new week. And we'll see what how Ryan handles that, of course. And it's going to be tough sledding. And it's just the way to not, get discouraged with the results and not get discouraged because it's going to be a process of a couple years to get them to where they want to be for sure. Last team on the list, Otay Ranch. They're on the up and up. They went 6-5 last year. They made a Division I playoff appearance. I don't know, not Division I, maybe Division I. I think they got dropped down to D2 this year. But they played, they beat Point Loma, Valley Center, Olympian. They lost to Oceanside in the playoffs, Steel Canyon, Eastlake. They ended with a 12.8 rating. This is another team that schedules out of their league. We've been talking about this for the entire South Bay, it seems like, scheduling teams that are a lot better than them. Open up with San Marcos. That is a tough opponent. I know they got a brand-new coach up there. But it's still going to be tough for them at Valley Center. They go all the way up the mountain to take on the Jaguars. Coach Gilster always has his guys ready to go up there. At Point Loma, I think, is a very winnable game for them. Steel Canyon, St. Augustine, Cathedral Catholic. Wow. I mean, that stretch right there. Think about that stretch right there. You got Saints, Steel Canyon, and Cathedral back-to-back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Try to get through that without one getting hurt and two getting like incredibly banged up on top of losing potentially kids in that. The thing is, if they get through that healthy, watch out in league play, because they're going to be battle tested by all means. Because by the time they play Saints and Cathedral, Saints and Cathedral have already played not Jesuit. Saints is playing, I think, Loyola up in Los Angeles. Cathedral at that point would have already played LCC, Helix, Centennial, Saguaro from Arizona. I mean, they're going to be battle-tested by the time Otay plays them, and then you're going to play that team, and then you're going to be battle-tested with all the battle wounds that you have as well. That is a tough schedule for them. I think all of their losses that they're going to have are going to come in non-league, and then one maybe in the East Lake game.
I think, yeah.
But I think they're good enough to beat East Lake.
Yeah, it's gonna depend. You know, East Lake has that tough non-league schedule as well, so it's kind of going to be who comes out of that best, really. I mean, but when you think about Otay, from what I've seen, you think about a team that's going to come out and punch you in the mouth on the first snap. I mean, they're such a physical football team. They got size on both lines that are going to deal out that physicality. And if you don't believe me, go back and check out the Union Tribune's article from Tuesday night.
It's like a couple days ago, right? Yeah. On Otay Ranch.
Yeah, Zach Rachow. He's a senior. He was hurt last year. He's moving from center to tackle. The kid is 6'8", 240. And once again, if you don't believe me, just pull up the UT article and look at the picture of this
guy. In the front page, I saw that. He is ginormous. He's got long hair. He's just like, wow, where did they get this kid from?
Game of Thrones,
right? Exactly. that's going to be a big reason why they're successful for sure. I like this Otay Ranch team. You know, they're going to be, come playoff time, their record's going to be around 5-5, maybe 6-4, you know, maybe even 4-6. But that's going to be a team nobody wants to play in the playoffs. I don't want to play that team. They're going to be better than what their record says, solely on the fact of all the teams that they've been playing. I'm sure they're going to have a very high CalPrep, CIA, whatever rating system they're doing now. I think they got rid of the margin of victory portion, the San Diego section did. So we'll see what it is. But the fact that they're playing all those teams is it's going to boost their rating regardless if they win or lose. And then they're going to be somebody that nobody wants to play in the Division II playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're my favorite probably to win Division II before I look at who else is in Division II, of course. Right. So to recap, I got East Lake coming in first. I think you agree with that in your non-biased Titan alum opinion over there. I got them going 4-0. I think the one team that could beat them and knock them off and potentially win league this year, I think, is Otay. I think you're in agreement there. Going 3-1. Modern Day, I got them going 2-2 as they get better and try to get that team and program going. Olympian, I got them going 1-3 because I think they could beat Bonita, and then I got Bonita coming last at 0-4.
Yeah, I think you're spot on.
That's twice now we've totally agreed. We'll see how the Metro Pacific League does in terms of our opinions on that. But I don't want to say it's like pretty self-explanatory in the South Bay, but it seems like every league's got like one top dog, and then it kind of and it falls off after that.
Yeah, pretty much. And the only thing about East Lake is those two players that have transferred out. I don't think when I was there last earlier this week, it didn't seem like it was that big. It was weighing that much stress on coaches' mind. I think they've moved past it and are ready to carry on without them. But it's just going to depend on how much of a toll, how many points that keeps off the board for them at the end of the day. So that's what it's going to come down to. And both Otay and East Lake's tough non-league schedules, who's going to come out with more momentum and more healthy guys.
He's Luke Ramirez. I'm Braden Suprenant. We break down the South Bay leagues. If you want to check out our other South Bay podcast, go to 97throughthefansd.com. You'll be able to click on the link of this one. Should have all of the previews that we have on this page at the top of the page. Click on it. We'll have an article for you on each and every single team. We'll also have the podcast for each and every single league that we did. We're going to cover 10 of them, starting on August 15th all the way to August 22nd. I don't know what day this one is. We'll release it when we release it. But thanks again for joining us. He's Luke Ramirez. I'm Braden Saprenant. Of course, tune into our high school football show each and every Thursday night on 97 Through the Fan. You can listen on the radio.com app. You can listen on 97throughthefansd.com. Anywhere you can live stream the radio, we have you covered. It will be me and Coach John Quintera every Thursday night from 9 to 11. We got coaches on. We got players on. They come in studio with us. We break down the games that are going to happen the next day. We'll get live reports from Luke Ramirez talking about the South Bay, of course, and what have you. We'll do our game picks, all the nine yards. And then, of course, each and every Friday night, we're going to be broadcasting high school football on 97 Through the Fans, starting with Granite Hills at Poway. We just talked about Modern Day. They're going to be traveling to Grossmont in Week 2. That will be our Week 2 matchup on 97 Through the Fans. So all of your Modern Day fans, get ready, because we're going to have that game on the air for you on the radio.com app live stream game. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great season. We're excited for it right here on 97.3 The Fans.